Consequence Podcast Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A lot of people live in denial because they think that to be realistic is to be depressing.
I'm Dr. Mike, host of Going There.
It was the first song where I wrote about how I felt like my depression was killing me and I didn't want it.
Going There breaks the stigma of mental health issues by having real, honest conversations with your favorite musicians, including Alessia Cara, Lizzie Hale, Jewel, Jason Isbell, Gerard Way, Lauren Gray, Shamir, and Barty Strange.
There was something there that was so raw, where I was like, wow, I can't believe someone would say that.
Let's go there on Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network, every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I stop for a second? Taco, you look very tan.
Thank you.
Have you been sunning?
I went to Bonnaroo. You know, that's what happens when you go. When you leave the house, you get outside the sun, you get some nice tanning going on. So, yeah.
We have no sun in New York City. It's all smoke. It's all Canadian smoke.
Yeah.
Lord Taco, you got a Barry Quarter. How's Barry? Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Doing great as always. And then Brian Stone, welcome to the show. Buddy, I haven't seen you in forever.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you? Look at this setup of yours.
It's actually close to somewhat professional for once.
Yeah. I love you have a professional setup, but yet no profession.
Well, that's true.
Hang on,
we can all say that except for you, maybe.
We got one more special guest.
Shit.
Oh, and a special guest of first PBR, 10:01 Eastern. Someone, have you checked that in yet? You should check that in.
I'll check it in.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Barry Quarter, are we online yet? Is Barry with
us? Did I go away?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All of a sudden, my entire computer system went crazy. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No need to apologize, Muffin. Everything's all right. How's Barry?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I've been up since about 5. I am
it's almost,
very energized.
It's almost bedtime for you.
I know. The first lunch. I've cleaned. I've got the setup going. I'm ready. I'm excited about this.
Brian, I don't know if you know this, because for a long time you were waking up at 11, 12 o'clock during the day. But Barry and I
still do that.
Okay. Well, Barry and I's go-to lunchtime was 10:45. It was always, how can we be the first one in an Indian restaurant at 10:45?
That's insane.
I know. I know.
He's not lying either.
I know he's not.
Yeah.
Hey, look
at
here.
And then out of nowhere, we're joined by Evan Bonnaroo, who I just don't see enough of. Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
What's yeah, up, right. Thanks. Yeah, thank you for coming. Where is Evan Bonnaroo? Oh, oh, goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
And he's on the floor.
What?
Somebody. Right, glad you invited him.
Somebody called Life Alert.
Turn right in. My camera just fell.
This is how. You, no kidding. Your camera just fell.
Fits right in.
This is how every weekend goes with me and Evan. At some point, we find ourselves on the floor. never fails.
Usually not at the beginning of the day, yeah. Though, right?
Hey, yeah. hit that Life Alert button. Get some help.
He's blurry. He's falling down. Someone come get their man. Somebody come get their man.
This is me after 12 PBRs.
Yeah.
Falling down, blurry.
Evan is still in Bonnaroo haze, yeah, apparently.
I was going to say, the whole idea here was to recap your Bonnaroo. I think you've
done
it.
I think we did it. Yep. Things are coming. Show over.
Well played, Evan. See ya.
Yeah.
Happy Canada.
Now you got it.
Happy Canada Day. Cheers, Madison.
Is today Canada Day?
That's what Madison said.
Really? And all they got for us is this goddamn smoke. Thanks a
lot. Is that when Columbus found Canada? Is that what that is?
I have no idea.
It wasn't Columbus. Okay. It was Dan Canada. It was a guy named Dan Canada.
He walked north and stepped over a line and said, this is Canada.
Hey, okay. Brian, do you feel better that for the first time ever, you're not the one that's causing all the technical issues?
I was actually just thinking that, yes.
I was too. Yeah.
I'm for once not the problem.
I know. You've gotten bailed out. I can't believe it. has there ever been a person that has ever bailed Brian out at camp? Brian is our go-to mascot of camp, who we usually kick, punch.
Yeah,
throw
I was
going to
say by mascot, you mean punching bag?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, I mean it's semantics.
And you mean by we? You mean you usually punch and kick?
Yes. I don't know. I think Barry's gotten a few good ones in.
I did early, but then I felt so bad for him, I just stopped. I was like,
I'm not trying to take away from anybody else's contributions around here. even
docile, calm, lovely Taco gets a Brian shot in every now and then. It's just low hanging fruit.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's right there. It's on a tee.
I know.
Ham 2 is here.
Nice.
Oh, Ham 2.
That's Reed. That's Reed. Right?
Reed. That's Reed. Yeah.
Nice. Hi, Reed. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Reed. So the thing about Ham 2 that I love so much is I've never seen I can't believe he's still in one piece. He's a kid that could have gotten broken in half at the Knock Loose show, right? Did you see the picture? Did we post the picture on the thing, Taco?
It's on the video. You didn't watch the video?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know I haven't watched the video.
Oh, we know you didn't watch the video.
But I was so proud of Ham 2 just losing his mind. I mean, he could have put a tent on top of that crowd and felt just as comfortable laying in it as he did crowd surfing. That was a great shot. The Hulu live stream nailed it. Oh, the happiest kid in the world. Brian Stone, let's start with you while Evan sits here and still cannot figure. Do you know Evan does this for a living? You do computers for a living. How have you screwed this up?
You know, that's my problem is I went too high tech.
Looks very high tech.
Man, I mean, that guy knows what he's doing right there.
Somebody hire him immediately.
Right. Might have just messed up my lens by dropping it, so that might have been the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, you sound great, at least. I'll give you that.
I'll take that.
All right.
I got a microphone.
Well, let's start with going around the room. We've heard it from Barry and Taka. Oh, by the way, so thank you for joining our little live show. We try to do this once, maybe twice a year. And, it's as much as I can do to feel connected to Bonnaroo that I missed yet again. So let's start with Brian Stone. Brian, what did you take away from 2023? I think that you, of all of us, you probably have been to the most, right? I think you got us.
He's been to all of them, so yes. No one has been to more.
Yeah, I've been to all of them.
I didn't know you went to all of them. Got it.
The very first year, it's a little bit of an asterisk. I jumped the fence on a Saturday night for Panic that night, and then that was it. So I didn't really know what it was yet. I didn't understand it yet. But by 03, I mean, 365 days couldn't get there quick enough to get back there for 03. So, yeah, technically I've got the...
Okay, so when we talk about like the past of Bonnaroo, since you went to the, you know, especially the first three, your idea from, you know, year one, year two to now.
Well, I was big into jam band music when it first became a thing. I was actually brand new to jam music at that time, so I was in a different world. That was a lifetime ago, 20 years ago. But it wasn't going to be sustainable that way. I mean, anybody you've talked to, from Ken to anybody else, knew that has talked about how that's not something that they were going to be able to sustain. And so I think it was around 06. I was just looking at it yesterday or the other day, actually, that Radiohead was the headliner. And that was kind of the first kind of move away from a strictly jam band kind of thing. And I remember at the time, I mean, I don't know if this is revisionist history or not, but I feel like I remember at the time thinking this was a really cool move, because how many times can Dave Matthews, Trey, and Widespread Panic play this thing before everybody says I'm tired of it? So
yeah, but
can we jump in? I want to hear this, because this is great, because Brian has a real perspective, having been there for all of them. But if you remember,
yeah, but he's
Brian,
only remembered half of them. Let's be honest.
Well, we're going to get into that too, and I think that's a huge part of it. Seriously, but we had a conversation. You mentioned Ken. You're talking about Ken Weinstein. We had a conversation Saturday in the media area. You were there, and Russ was there, and Kyle Bonnaruvian was there. He was asking me about who his Rushmore of Bonnaruvian was, and he had a real interesting take. It wasn't just your four best acts. He had a specific qualification for each. And one of the questions was Radiohead or McCartney? And I, of course, said McCartney, and Ken's take was Radiohead, because just like you said, it was, what, 06? That shifted the whole Bonnaroo universe. It was Ken's argument, and I think Kyle's too, right? McCartney obviously is the high watermark for all of us, but that was 13, and so the Radiohead thing being so early kind of legitimized, if that's maybe too even a weak a word. But right, you remember what I'm talking about, Brian? And I do.
But I legitimize might be the right word, is in the sense of
shifted,
of
probably a shift, better
of the shifting into to an entire different orbit of fans to pull from. And yeah, I would say both those two. I'm not a big Rushmore topic content fan.
I appreciated Kyle's take on it.
Well, he framed it because Mount Rushmore, you know, you've got people that represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation. So those were his four people that he picked as far as the Bonnaroo Rushmore, birth, growth, development, and preservation.
I love this idea that Brian hates the Rushmore analogy. Do you hate
Brian
top five lists too?
Okay.
Do you like? Do you hate just top five lists? You anti any?
Brad.
Why do you hate our country, Brian?
Brad, as lifetime radio guys, you know the Mount Rushmore in the sports talk universe is the laziest topic in the history of sports radio. You know this.
I agree, but Kyle came strong with the whole
qualification. I'm not trying to hate on Kyle. I love you, Kyle. This isn't about you, Kyle.
He doesn't even know who Kyle is.
I met him.
But anyway, yeah, so... anyway, I hijacked the conversation. I want to hear the rest of Brian's thoughts on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, but before you get there, it's like I'm gonna, to the Radiohead point, how have you seen it change from the first years to now? Because we've talked about how the world was so different at Bonnaroo in the first, like I've said a million times, Shakedown Street was a legitimate shakedown. There were people that were just off the street that could stand there without a ticket and sell you a dryer door. And I say that with all honesty, because someone tried to sell me a dryer door. It was, it was, It was panic. It was constant panic all the time.
It was chaos, and I don't even know if you could call it organized chaos to a certain degree. It's like, it wasn't really jump the fence. There really wasn't one. I just walked in.
There wasn't a fence. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, there was, but it was already toppled down. It was just.
Do you know how many people that we know that have told me the exact same story? You live in Chattanooga, you drive 45 minutes, and you could literally just walk in at some point.
Walk right in.
Yeah.
And there was no, I mean, even on Bonnaroo's best organized years, the new volunteers, the newer workers, they still don't know what's going on. A thing that big, you'll never have everybody on the same page as far as where everybody needs to go, all the answers you need, answered,
sure.
Or care. True, there's plenty of that too. This was nobody has any idea what's going on. It was mind blowing that first year. I didn't know what I was looking at, and it fascinated me beyond belief. And for the next couple of years, getting more acclimated to how the festival worked, I'm still equally fascinated 20 years later. But to answer the question, what has changed? How's it? You know, what's the evolution look like from my perspective? Honestly, it's not that much different.
The feeling isn't.
The essence, the soul of the festival is pretty damn similar to what it always was, and that's why I think it's so unique and became so beloved. It's not just, I get to go see some great music today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. As me and we've all talked about, me and Taco the most recently, who's playing Bonnaroo this year? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. It's fun to talk about, but it literally doesn't matter. Well, and I think that was similar then as it is now.
Well, do you remember, like, it's 2005, right? And we were getting excited as to where they were putting the big heads. You know, like, that was where, like, the excitement. Now you have, what does Plaza 7 look like? The small things that they were doing and adding every year in the early years would get us so excited. And, you know, all we cared about when we got into Cineru was, where are they putting the art installation? Where are they putting the big heads?
The comedy tent. Did they change it a little bit? Yeah. Is it over in the corner? Do they move it closer to the tent? Yeah,
Do you remember that? Do you remember the year? It must have been like 07 or 08. They finally figured out to take this tent, and instead of doing it, turn it just a tiny bit. Yeah. And the fact that, like, we spent the entire weekend obsessing over that little detail.
Trees, lights in the trees, that was so big.
The tiny little things that we've watched get added to this farm, to now it is this big, thriving entity that it's almost like the changes are too many to even count every year. But, those first years, we're like, oh, my God, there's AC in the comedy tent this year. I can't believe it.
The silent disco. Did they move it in proportion to somewhere else? Yes, yeah. Little things like that.
Well, talking about little things,
we just didn't have very many.
And one of the things that is so weird to even say, the comedy tent was to me mind blowing when I got there and realized they have a comedy tent.
And, it was fun.
It was neat.
What the heck? I mean, this is a serious event. They have a comedy tent. You know, this just isn't live music. They have a comedy tent.
There's and nothing more serious than the comedy tent.
Well, it was just the fact that there was something else.
True,
I guess, I'm saying.
But if you talk to any of those comics, they hated it.
Oh, I
they
know, but
hated it.
The things that not everything worked, but just the fact that they had something different. Like that was mind blowing to me.
Well, and I'll never, like, that line for Conan O'Brien that year was completely out of control. I think it was time to shut the tent down after they got Conan. Okay, so fast forward, we'll get to Evan here in a second. Evan, thank you for at least.
Yeah, hang on,
you know,
Evan. We're coming.
But Brian, this year, what was your first response? Your first thoughts about this year after going every single year of your life?
If you're just talking about the overall weekend, just another incredible weekend. I mean,
is it on your Mount Rushmore?
It's on my Mount Rushmore.
If you chisel
out three of those old men on there, it'd still be on Mount Rushmore. All right, on the singular Mount Rushmore.
Is that preservation? Is that founding?
That's defacing. I think defacing is what that is. Yeah.
Well. I don't know when to say this, but I'll go ahead and do it now. I was thinking about it about an hour ago before we started this. Most of the people in my life, other than family and work, that I communicate with on a regular basis are because of Bonnaroo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
Really?
I mean, yes.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Everybody on this
too.
Podcast right now is because of Bonnaroo.
Well, that's because it's a Bonnaroo podcast, Barry.
Well, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
I mean, if we were talking about Wes Anderson movies, I could understand that you would be like, wow, this is crazy. I met all these people via Bonnaroo.
That's a solid point. I'll give you that one. No, I'm serious, though. It occurred to me that most of the people that I communicate on a regular basis with, other than family and work, are because of Bonnaroo. And that, I don't know, I mean, maybe you guys are different, but I don't know if that's good, bad, you know, no, sad.
I agree with
whatever,
you.
Whatever,
I mean,
but
yeah, I've made lifelong friends thanks to Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, one person in particular is in my life because of Bonnaroo. It's Evan Bonnaroo. He was the first
person. See how I did that?
Yeah. The first person. It's like I've been doing this for a while. The first person I met in New York was Evan Bonnaroo. In fact, he helped me choose not to ever live in Jersey. So I can't thank you enough, Evan, for
saving
my life.
Well, I could have told you that.
Evan, how many times have I been to Jersey?
Five or six now.
Oh, come on. No, it's not been five or six.
Yeah.
So the first time
it's in the realm of five.
So the first time I went to Jersey, because I had to go over for his birthday party, I texted and was like, am I going to grow a tail? What are the ramifications of crossing into Jersey?
No, but you're going to sing only Bon Jovi songs. That's the, which okay. is even worse than the tail.
So
well, I brought you down for crawfish and you love that.
I did find crawfish in Jersey. At least there's that. Yeah, we did find crawfish. What about you, Evan? This is what, like Bonnaroo 6, 7 for you?
Oh, double that.
No, you've not been to 12 Bonnaroos. No way.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah.
His name is Evan Bonnaroo. You think he hasn't been to 12 Bonnaroos?
Well, that's because I couldn't remember his last name.
Yeah, and that's my contact.
How it is in the phone. Yeah, it shows up.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've been going every year since 2012.
Okay.
Even when they didn't have it, I drove to the farm.
That's why would you do that? You're in Jersey. Why would you drive all the way?
I was on a road trip driving by. But.
Oh, okay. All right. So after all of this year, take the Foo Fighters out of it. Where is this year ranked for you?
I think it's number one. Even
wow.
I was camping with the Rubus people, and we had a group camp of 150. That was my first time ever doing group camping. And almost everything was seamless. Like, everyone was awesome. We had the monkey bar there.
Nothing wrong with that. That's great.
They were super accommodating for us because they needed extra power and stuff. So even, like, by Friday, we were all kind of, like, looking at each other. It was like, is this the best one?
I love the idea. I love the idea that this is the first year you did group. What did you do in the years past?
Yeah. Drive down with a caravan of 2 to 4 or 5 cars. And
gotcha.
With my friends.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so you're all in on group now.
I might be. Yeah. I do like the idea of knowing where you're going to camp before you get there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of anxiety with planning, like what time to drive in and where you're going to be based on that. And there's not a lot of data points to.
That's true.
You've mentioned two words, and I can see Brian shaking his head, and he's going to know probably what they are: anxiety and seamless, right? I mean, Brian and I have talked about it. We have anxiety for the 2 weeks leading up to it every year, and seamless. And this year, I had no anxiety, and everything was seamless. For people who don't always go, what do you mean by that, Evan? I mean, I know what we mean, but what do you mean by both of those?
Well, part of it is just, am I going to be camped close? Am I going to be camped really far? Is it going to take 5 minutes to drive in? Is it going to take 6 hours?
So are you going to be denied? Something wrong with your application or your ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? That's what always gets up.
There's so many variables that you don't know until you're in that position.
Yep.
Like where you are. So you can't get any information really until you're there.
In what moment do you actually say, okay, I'm here, I can let go now? Is it after you set up camp? Oh, as soon as you go through security?
As soon as you drive through security.
Yeah. Brian is not like
driving
that.
Through wherever you're going.
Brian still thinks something else, the other shoe's going to drop at some point. Even when he's through. Yeah.
Well, because normally you're running around like a madman with police tape trying, you're marking off a crime scene. And I'm like, this is Brian, not okay, Brad. We can't do this.
Brian, based on the women you bring back to camp, yeah, it is a crime scene.
Sometimes they were already there. I didn't bring them.
Yeah, he's not picky. He sees that yellow tape and he's thinking, hey.
All bets are off.
He's not picky. He literally, I've looked all around this camp and you're the best I've found. So come on in.
Somebody's already marked this off. Yeah.
Just look for the crime scene tape.
Yeah. Boy, Brian.
Opportunity. Some people see opportunity.
You've got a discernible palate, I will say, Brian. A very, very fine palate. When do you finally let go, Brian? When do you say, I'm here, I can rest and relax?
Once we know for sure where our actual real estate is, once I feel confident that our boundary, whether it is an actual police line tape, that's not a joke, you did that for years, or the imaginary line that I can see, which this year I was there late, Taco was there a month in advance, so we were able to seek it all out.
You're welcome.
Immediate anxiety relief because it was already there, it was ready to go.
And yeah.
I think Evan nailed it, right? It was seamless. We talked about that last week. This was the easiest one
so
ever.
So easy.
Evan, you're the closest thing we have to a GA camper. So did you hear anything out there about problems, things that you would normally say, like, oh my God, did you hear that there are lines for the ice that took 2 hours? I haven't heard a single problem as far as the infrastructure is concerned of the operation.
Nothing in general. There was, I know, one isolated incident in pod 2 where there was an explosion of the bathrooms. And
sorry?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was fecal matter running through people's campsites.
Oh, my God. Excuse me.
You didn't hear about this?
Yeah. No, I have not heard about this. Tell me all about it.
I saw the video.
That's about all I know, but...
Pod 2 and, had a porta potty incident, and there was sewage flowing into people's campsites.
Pod number 2 had a number 2.
Pod number 2 had a lot of number 2s.
So how big did this start going? Like, how wide did it go? How many people was it affecting?
I don't know for sure.
Man, you're a really terrible on-site reporter.
If it affects more than
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, one is enough.
Yeah.
That's a bad day if that's coming into your tent.
I wonder if the people, the Bonnaroo people, the C3 or the Live Nation people hear about something like that and they try to search that person out and do anything they can to be like, oh, here's some free tickets.
They offered them a free shower and a free meal pass or something.
Oh, come on. Yeah. We can do better than that.
To start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is a start.
Probably going to need a free sleeping bag and a free tent and shoes. Yeah.
I would imagine Ham 2 would say vibes are not high. Not high. No,
those are pretty low vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very mid vibes. Vibes are mid. All right. So let's jump into favorite shows. Brian, your immediate impressions when you came back, now maybe 2 weeks removed. Where did you find your love? What shows? What experiences?
Just quickly, just to run through the weekend of just favorites to throw them out there real quick. Portugal the Man was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Tyler Childers, I had a lot of hopes for, and I really like the music. I've listened to it a lot recently, but I don't know because I haven't been in this exact position in a long time. This tent is too damn close to the witch, and if you get in the wrong spot towards, if you're facing the stage to the right, the bleed factor, especially with a slower tempoed artist like Tyler Childers, that was pretty annoying. And I I was in pretty good position, and this tent was bleeding badly. So that kind of messed up that experience overall, but it was still fun. You guys talked about it last week. No reason to spend much more time on it. The corn show was all the talk, but you guys spent a whole segment on that.
Well, what did you like?
You said everything there is to say.
Well, really. I kind of keyed to you because I heard your take on it on your podcast. I mean, and I think you said it as well as anybody. It was a great set. It was a perfect set. Right. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was everything you wanted it to be and more. And I just thought that was interesting.
Well, Brad, you'll probably like this a little bit to a certain level, is that, yes, it was, I believe, the perfect set. And I'm only a peripheral casual fan of this band. Never cared about them all that much, but I've been around them my whole life, especially, 20 years ago when everybody I knew loved them so much. And I was just shocked front to back. It was a banger from front to back. I couldn't get enough of it. But this kind of goes back to where I would be me a little bit and be a jerk about the McCartney show and talk about, oh, my God, he opened with Live and Let Live or Live and Die. Live and Let Die. Yeah, no shit, guys. He does it every week. He did it in Memphis last week. Wow, I'm so excited. Well, the Korn show is the same set on this tour every night.
And how many, by the way, how many of those sets have you seen on this tour?
Of Korn's?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter what they did last night.
I told you you'd appreciate this. And yes, it doesn't. You're right. You win, damn it.
It is an interesting question, and we probably could spend a whole episode on it.
Well, we're going to. We're going to talk about this very problem with Evan about Foo Fighters here in a bit.
I could chime in on that as well.
Everyone has an opinion, and none of them are right or wrong. I've been talking about this for 37 years.
Am I right? Yeah.
Does a comedian tell his best joke or does he leave it out? I mean, it's I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
By the way, that's such a specific number, 37 years. Yes. That's when you know exactly when you formed that opinion. And
that's,
it was 37
That's how long
years
I worked
ago.
At my former job at a newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Got it. That's what the marker
professionally
was.
Professionally for 37 years.
Okay. So then who else other than Childers and Korn?
Matt Mason was fun on Friday. I mean, as always, I don't see enough music for your taste, Brad. I didn't sit at camp all weekend like you think I do.
Well, that's a stutter.
A stumble on find was the band Camino. I'd never heard of them before, but there was enough room to get up close, so I watched 30 minutes of that. Seemed pretty fun. Of course, Brad, I had to go see Sheryl Crow. That's always a fun show. And then Sunday, I was there all day, and I had a nice day on Sunday that didn't have to do with music as much. I have some regrets. I missed a lot on Sunday because I was running out of gas. I missed Paramore, and that was a bad move on my part. That was a bad move on my part. But I did see Marcus Mumford, and that was a nice lullaby. That was fun to take a nap to.
I was kind of surprised. Like, I didn't expect it to be just Marcus. I don't know what I expected. But it was just Marcus. And I thought he sounded great, though.
Just Marcus. It did sound fine, and it was very sleepy.
Well, I think you'll have the Sons to join him next year at Bonnaroo. I think that they're going to be back,
which I'm a fan
of.
I'm a fan of. But, I mean, a couple others I stumbled around and watched for a few minutes early on Friday, Morgan Wade, who I thought was probably some country singer that, threw racial slurs out regularly. No, she's not that at all.
It's Morgan Wallen.
Did you like that show, that Morgan Wade show?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I know. I mean, Let Dad go.
It was on the
Taco
it was
with
on,
the win.
It was on the Witch stage early, and the weather was cooperating, so it felt great. So the circumstances were good. I'm not saying the show was great. I'm saying time.
That's like confusing Mr. T with Mike Tyson. Who would do that?
Nobody's ever done that. No one has ever confused the two, ever.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And then the one that I did want to speak to you, Brad, because I text you at the time, hey, should I go see Noah Kahan? Not, you know, and you knew why I was asking. Do you think it's I will like it, not do you want me to like it? And you said yes. And I have, I don't have the, though being there my whole life, I don't have the experience at some of these stages that maybe you guys and many people listening and watching this do, who are weekend warriors. But that's the biggest overflow crowd I have ever seen at a tent for Noah Kahan in the evening on Friday night. I have never seen a that much. I mean, it was for the this was at the that tent. And so that road, which is now paved, that cuts through there, the walkway, it was 20, 30, 40 deep past that road.
Yeah.
To get anywhere near what would be considered a spot to see the show. I couldn't believe it. So I couldn't really tell if the show was good. I talked to a guy in a Braves jersey about liquor and beer distribution during that show.
You do what you do.
Yeah. You are a one-trick pony. You do know one thing and one thing only.
But I tried.
I kind of think you check that in. You should check that in. All right, so the thing about the Noah Kahan thing is I knew it was going to be big, but I think that the thing that's so surprising is where did this come from? You know, I bet 80% of the people that were there only heard of him a month before. Man, it just came completely out of nowhere.
I don't know. I mean, you and I watched that one because I didn't get to go. That was Friday night, so I wasn't on the farm yet, so I was watching on Hulu, and looked like everybody there knew every word to every song, so...
And I'm sure you guys have talked about this at some point. They took the screens away from the outside of the tent.
Yep. That's what I heard. Yep.
Don't know what.
What the hell? What the hell are they doing?
I don't know what's up with that. Too bad.
Yeah, that's a big miss. That's a really big miss.
All right, so Evan, thanks for joining us, and I think we're done.
Now I want to hear Evan's highlights. Evan, do you share some of the same sentiments? I'm sure you were a big Tyler Childers fan.
Yeah. So I've made just a quick list of the highlight shows. Wednesday, we had a big secret set for Cherub at Where in the Woods. That was a big party. Diarrhea Plan on Thursday was awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
I caught JP Sachs in the campground show on Friday morning, afternoon. Then Portugal the Man, Noah Kahan, we just talked about. The Midnight, they sounded awesome. They were probably my biggest find on the lineup.
The Midnight?
What
stage?
They're kind of they were on this tent at around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday.
All right, I have a lot of questions I want to come back to you about, but go ahead.
Sure. So they're a band that you listen to them and you're like, this might not translate that well live because they have a very full sound. And you imagine just one guy, like a singer and a keyboard player, and it's a very full sound. So they really executed on that. Wolfpack after that, and then I checked out Diesel for probably half the set, which was, you know, just...
What was the Diesel set like?
Don't make me come down there, right?
Yeah.
Don't make me come down there.
I mean, I suspect he hits play and yells funny things for 3 hours. Uh-huh. But it's very dubsteppy, but and, you know, he plays popular songs and yells funny things, so...
Yeah.
About halfway through, it was about 2:30 in the morning, and I turned to my friend Skyler, who I was with. It's like, I think we caught everything. We're going to see here. So. Uh-huh.
Can I ask a legitimate question about that? Because I didn't realize that Shaq was going to be there till the last minute. And I think, did you just say, Brad, hit play? Is he really even doing anything up there? Or is he just a hype man? Like, is he actually doing anything?
I was so far back, it's hard to tell. I couldn't even see him, to be honest with you.
He's the best hype man ever. Like, he's the most perfect hype man.
He's a good one. Also hilarious. He's hilarious. He's like, you want to come on stage with the Diesel?
That's what we heard. That's why I said that people in our camp said all he said was, don't make me come down there, and where's my mosh pit? And then that ginormous wingspan kind of thing. So it was much talked about, for sure. So.
Well, let's just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off of this. What do you think about the Foo Fighters show?
How many more days you got? Okay. What day are you talking about now?
I just Saturday and Sunday. Oh, I'm just going to run through.
All right, do that.
Devin
he's been very patient. Let him have his.
Me and Evan love Devin Gafilian. I'm glad you like that show. Yeah. Me and him saw him at the Mercury Lounge, which is a tiny, tiny venue in the city. How was it different on the bigger stage, Evan?
He was just in a great mood. He looked happy to be there. He brought his brother on stage to sing a song. He was just having a great time. I think most of the set was like the set list was similar, but you could tell he was in a great mood.
Yeah.
Corey Wong after that, Grizz, I'm not a big Grizz guy, but he filled in for Rainbow Kitten Surprise, doing the Sunset set. And that was a lot.
He even covered a few RKS songs.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
It was a nice gesture.
That is a nice ode. Tip of the cap.
The Super Jam was pretty cool. Definitely one of the better ones I've seen.
Did you see Hanson? Because I've asked a couple people, did you see Hanson? Because that's what I care about.
I would have loved
I technically
to see
did, but I didn't realize that I was seeing them.
They didn't do.
Was,
did they do Bop?
No, they didn't.
Yeah. It's, come on.
I think I heard
one job.
One
come
job.
On,
I heard they did some other set somewhere.
What other song is somebody going to see Hanson for?
They got one other one, but
what is it?
Barely. I don't remember.
Is it Bop'em?
Yeah, Bop 2.
Yeah, it's called Not Bop. Well, I'm glad I didn't see it then.
Oh, that really bums me out. Oh, no kidding.
I think they did some other smaller set somewhere. I heard about that, but I don't know for sure. So I'm sure they played it at some point.
Wait, you're telling me that Hanson did a smaller set somewhere?
I think that's right.
Well, I know one of the three was part of the in the media area, right? Was part of one of the panels, but that doesn't mean they performed.
I thought they did a small set somewhere, and there is actually an Bop like 2.0. They re-recorded that song in the last like 5 years, so there's that too. So that's a criminal act if they didn't play that somewhere. 100%.
You got one job. You nailed it. You got one job. Wow. Okay.
All right,
go ahead.
What else you got, Evan?
My morning jacket. I was front and center in the pit for that one.
Really?
So a great show. Yeah.
All right. Was it everything that you wanted it to be? Because someone on this in this call did not think it lived up to their expectations.
They probably could have done a little more to make it a little more special, especially since they're on this whole hype cycle for that vinyl release.
Sure.
But you know, it was a great solid set.
I liked it very much.
Who's that someone? Yeah.
That would be Barry Corder. Right? Barry Corder said, your words were, I think their time is over.
I may have passed for some, is what I said.
I thought it was weak.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a little weak.
I said I liked it, but I thought the crowd there, it may have passed for a lot of the people there, is what I said. I liked it very much.
Okay.
It was a fine set, but I thought it was lacking a little oomph, too. I saw 45 minutes of it, so I can't speak to a three-hour show.
Right.
We've only been there for
45
minutes. That would have been good.
And they didn't do I'm Amazed, which is what you wanted to hear, right, Brian?
My favorite song, but, I mean, who cares what I think?
Well,
but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great set, but from having talked to a lot of people and especially you mentioned Grizz and Diesel and, several of the others, Odessa. I'm not sure it worked for that crowd.
There was a lot of energy going on, and they didn't have as much energy as you expect. And to Evan, I think, great point, especially on this hype, this kind of hype of this record. I just was hoping for a little bit more, but I didn't think it was bad. I'm not trying to say
it was
that,
not bad. It was just, I'm not sure it was what some people hoped or wanted, but that's all. I loved it. I liked it. Okay. And the people I was with loved it. So
got it. Okay. All right.
It was great seeing them play past 2:30 their scheduled time, and
yes, they went another hour, 3 hours.
Yeah,
set.
I saw the security guards stand to each other and look at each other like, oh, and they realized that they could play as long as they want, and they just.
I think we're gonna have a similar conversation about Foo Fighters coming up, maybe if I'm reading what you're going.
And
with,
so and then I watched you basically stand in line for the Foo Fighters all of Sunday.
Mostly, yeah. I stepped in for the Revivalist pit, and then I looped back around and got right back in line for the Foo Fighters. We had probably at least 12 of us from our group. We all established a camp in line. So at about 3:00, I think.
Oh, wow.
So I just rejoined them. Yeah.
Okay. how was the now? By the way, guys, I don't know if you know this, but there's not a bigger fan of the Revivalist than Mr. Evan Bonnaroo. How was the Revivalist set?
They were good.
Boy, you guys should see these pictures that Evan took of the Revivalists. I sent them to Zach the other day. Yeah. Oh, he was over the moon about them. Great work.
Just like Billy Joel.
I mean, actual good work. Had something to say good about work. It.
Yeah. Great work.
I can never say those words again. Yeah, I think... no matter what I say, those words never will work ever again.
Yeah, I think their new record is really good. It's so new that a lot of people didn't know the songs, so they probably played half the record. So, but I think they are missing a little bit from their original stuff where they would really really jam on stuff, because me and Brad have had this conversation offline where it's a lot of it is just 5 minute song, 5 minute song, five. But I would like to see them elongate, back to their roots and really. Jam out on a few of their songs,
and they probably do outside of festival sets. I mean, if you see them in New Orleans at home, they probably do that still to this day.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them 20 times probably. So, yeah, definitely. They definitely keep their festival sets pretty tight.
Yeah. And you did Paramore? What did you think about Paramore?
Yeah. I mean, I listened to Paramore. I was all the way on the side of the stage, so I couldn't see anything.
Okay.
But it sounded good. The pit line for Paramore, this is one of my comments. They need to fix the What Stage pit line. There's no organization there. Last year there was like a stampede situation for Stevie Nicks. They need someone to organize that and tell people where to stand and where to sit for what band, because it can get a little dangerous when a band like Paramore.
Evan, you're preaching to the choir. It's been like that for a decade. I'll never forget the first time in my life where I felt I was legitimately in danger was trying to get into the Macklemore pit the first year that they played, like right when Thrift Shop hit. I was literally, people were jamming us so badly that we were lifted off of the ground. And one girl fell, and as the crowd moved, like there's nothing you can do. I was convinced she was going to get trampled to death. It is a scary thing when they open that pit and the rush comes in. It's quite alarming.
Yeah. Paramore fans are, diehard. So it depends on the band. So, having a band like Paramore play right before the Foos, it was mayhem, really. So they could really do with a little better organization on that front.
I agree. I don't disagree.
Yeah, Paramore.
All right, can I jump?
I guess we'll get to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. What do you got, Barry?
I want to ask Evan about the plazas, because as you said, that's sort of he's the, especially you were out there in group, and Russ and I talked earlier. God bless. Daniel and Charlotte. I mean, I can't imagine doing all the work they did, and you were
so much work. My
God, so much work. I'm exhausted.
I bitch about setting up camp.
Me too. And I went
halfway through. I had to say, Barry, just do the rest.
I'm done. I can't. Yeah. And Russ and Brian and I did two interviews, and it's so stressful making sure we're there on time and hooking up. I can't imagine what all they did, but. So what was that? I mean, you actually still, Evan, saw a lot of shows in Centaroo. So talk about the plazas a little bit. What was it like out there?
Yeah, so I was so damn busy. The only campground show I saw was like Kingfish, because they were just walking by us, or I was walking to the bathroom, so they had a stage at the Cracker Barrel there. And then I saw the JP Sachs show. I also caught I Am Bonnaroo, David Bruce. I went to his portrait session over there.
How was that?
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. It was, you know, he takes 3 photos of you and sets you up all nice. So we'll see.
Oh, that's great.
Out.
I got
he came by Camp Nut Butter on Sunday. Was it Saturday? Saturday evening, right, yeah. Russ? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have him on the show to talk about that. That's such a great story. Yeah,
that's great. So wait, before you go any further, what was the Cracker Barrel thing like?
So they had a Cracker Barrel. They had like giant versions of like their game, like the peg game and cornhole and stuff. And then they also had every morning they gave out free tacos, like pancake tacos.
Wow.
So there's a massive line every morning.
And not a biscuit. I was convinced it was going to be nothing but biscuits.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed too.
But. That's great. Okay, good for you. That's a great connection, by the way. Didn't they, like years ago they had the Waffle House truck? I don't know what I go for. Like, what do you rank higher, the Waffle House truck or Cracker Barrel experience?
Waffle House truck
over Cracker Barrel.
Oh yeah,
really?
Waffle House or Cracker Barrel?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Depends on the time of day.
It really does. It really does.
Two different worlds.
It really does. Great point. All right. Any other plaza stuff?
I just have to say they were super supportive because we had a couple DJ events. We did a trivia thing. I think there was a speed dating thing as well. Those were on our schedule and they were super accommodating. I think Bonner's become a lot more supportive of having the community make its own events. So gotta give a shout out.
It seems that way. Yeah, it seems that way.
No question.
Yeah.
Especially since we get there now on Tuesday morning. So otherwise we got nothing to do
for
2.5 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Hey, what about getting in? Did anybody have any complaints or comments about the tiered system, getting in different days, different times, et cetera? Did anybody have any major?
You were there a month ago. I mean, you know.
Well, of course, I don't go in the normal GA entrances, but no, I had no trouble at all getting in. Just goes back.
I think
to what
the
we
worst
said.
I heard was
everything
four
this
hours?
Year was seamless. It was perfect. We, you know, no.
How
trouble
long did you wait,
in?
Evan? Getting in on Tuesday.
Zero minutes.
Zero minutes. Yeah. Jesus. Okay.
Well, you have to think about it. There used to be a 6 hour time period that everyone would get there on Wednesday, and now they've expanded it for 12 hours Tuesday, 12 hours Wednesday, and then beyond that. So they've quadrupled the entering amount of time. So that spreads everything out really.
And
nice.
You could go online, and they kind of predicted, you know, these are what we predict to be the peak hours, and so you could kind of adjust, you know. So
yeah.
The good news is it seems to have worked and it doesn't seem to have mattered to people. I wondered about people showing up on Tuesday. Like you said, well, what are you going to do? But then you've got people like you and Russ who this is great. You know, I mean, that would have been a nightmare for me. But obviously you guys, you know, made it work and others did too. So cool.
I like the Tuesday entry because you actually get to hang out with all the people that you've been talking about this for a year. Because otherwise, if you get there Wednesday night, then the music starts immediately, and then you're trying to see all Disney World in one day.
We kind of hit on that a little bit last week, and again, it goes back to the whole community thing. Russ and I never had any trouble hooking up with people. I mean, I saw everybody I wanted to
neither
see.
Neither is either.
Yeah. But that was just so interesting that, you know, you get to see the people you want to see in the whole community thing. And I want to bring this up before we, with Brian, because, and Brad, I kind of hinted at it before, but it was such a weird year. That's not the right word. Brian, this was a first year for you, and you've been very public talking about it, and I know you don't mind talking about it, but this, you're sober. Right. This was a really sober Bonnaroo, and not just for you, but people in our camp And I had two or three people come up to me at various times and say, man, I've never been here when there are so many people, not just whatever, blottoed. I don't know. I don't want to understate it, overstate it, whatever. But it was just a different vibe, right? And so I kind of wanted to let you talk about attending for the first time in 20 years with literally a different head, right? A different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't spend too much time on it. But, I mean, it was different to a certain degree, but really take out 2002, 3, 4, 5. I'm very young at that time and, and have no filter whatsoever. But really, late into the 2000s and on, I drink a lot at night once the evening was winding down. But I really didn't during the day. So, like, the daytime was not really different at all for me, but I've been a regular drinker my entire life, and I put an end to that with medical help earlier this year. And I was concerned about it, just like I've been concerned about a lot of things that I used to do. And pleasantly, surprisingly, finding out that life goes on, and it goes on pretty well and pretty damn good without it. And we did have another Camp May Tara who's now a couple years sober, and it really is almost a trend. I don't know if sweeping the nation, but of NA beers are more prevalent where you go. Mocktails are all the rage. That's just all coincidental and circumstantial that this has happened at the time that I'm deciding to do it. I really, really embraced it, and I've embraced the whole thing. And the Sobrew people, shout out to them. Camp Sobrew, who they do shows all across the country.
Right.
I don't know if this is their biggest gathering or not, but I spent some time with them. It's something I never thought was possible. Not only is it possible, it's pretty easy. It's actually really easy, and that makes it that much more enjoyable and fun to talk about. Sometimes I know I can, chew somebody's ears off if you let me, but it was a very much different experience macro overall, but from a day to day at 4 o'clock on a Saturday, really wasn't that much different, but it made the nighttime certainly a different dynamic, but I wouldn't change it for anything, and I remember every damn weekend. Yeah. Every bit of it. And that is so great. That is so great. Because so many of those other shows, Brad, you mentioned something or you were on your way to taking a dig or I don't remember what you were saying earlier this hour. Yeah, so many. Was the show good? The hell do I know if the show is any good? Did I have fun? Yes, honestly. I had fun. Was the show good? I don't know.
Brian, I've seen some of the things you've done at Bonnaroo. It's okay that you've forgotten them. It's okay you don't remember most of them.
I will not disagree with that. I will not disagree with that thought.
I brought it up because obviously it's a big part of Brian's life now, but I brought it up because it was a big part of Bonnaroo, Brad. I mean, it wasn't just Brian and I talking about it. It came up many, many times with a lot of different people. It's a different – that's not to say there weren't people there, doing what we're accustomed to.
Bombed out of their head everywhere.
And God bless them, and good for you. That's the right place, as I've always said. I wish I did drugs because that's the right place to do them.
Do you think it has something to do with that the weather was better? Because most of the time when you hear some of this crashing and burning is because it's gotten so hot. And
one year is not enough to say, but I mean, like I said, it wasn't just in our camp. It came up several times. Our friend Nate came by and he was like, I've never seen so many sober people in here. And we had a conversation about that. So I don't know, next year could be completely different, but I just thought it was worth mentioning. And I don't know, Evan, if you saw that out in the plazas or not.
I can promise you, Evan did not see that.
It was a little different. I bet it was a little different.
Well, just to say what you're saying, Brian, I think on a nationwide scale, I think I've definitely seen more, mocktails and non-alcoholic stuff. So Definitely on that front, I think there is definitely a trend going around.
Yeah. And the other thing to add to that is that mental health is such a part of the conversation these days. And they kind of go hand in hand.
They go together. Very much they go together.
So it was really interesting to see it be part of the festival. And I just wanted to mention it. And I know, Brian, I'm very proud of you. You've been very public about all of this. And so I wanted to bring it
up. Well, let's not forget. I mean, and it is something to applaud Brian for, but let's also remember Brian loves attention. So
whatever, but this is good attention.
He's going to love it.
This is good attention and good for you. So
all right, yeah, that's rich, Brad. I love attention. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Especially coming from Brad.
Pot calling the kettle black on that one.
Yeah, okay. Don't know what you're talking about. Mr. Humble over here.
And one other thing, I know we've been live on this, and I know Russ is monitoring it. Do we have comments? Anything worth reading? We got questions.
I sent you the comments. Yeah, have you not been reading?
I know,
the
and I told you. I looked at them in my.
Don't ask Dad to do anything technical.
I'm not clicking over because last time I did, all I could hear was YouTube cat videos. So you guys don't need to hear that. So I'm asking you: do we have any or no?
Well, yeah, why you look bunch. At that?
Read some. What I'm asking you.
Oh my God!
One job, one job.
I sent you one job. You have one job. We've got 22 people watching right now.
Don't make me come down there.
All right, say some comments.
This is quite literally. You're basically reading our text thread right now.
Yeah.
Going back and forth. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Killing me.
All right, Taco. You want to go ahead with these so we can get these out of the way.
Let's hear some comments. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Never mind.
So excited.
Never mind. All right. I'm telling you.
Is Eric Tucker, are you going to read them?
Read what?
Read what?
I just said, let's hear some comments. Let's hear them. Read them.
So, Evan, tell me about the Foo Fighters.
Nobody say anything right now.
You're the biggest Foo Fighter fan on the planet. I want your unadulterated review of Foo's at Rue for the first time ever.
Yeah,
most
I thought
disappointing
it was a great
act.
Show. I was in the pit for it. I was dead center, about eight people back. We had a big bunch of us. The show energy wise was. The show energy
who's on first
is incredible.
Is Taco locked up?
I know that we're.
You think Taco's reading, locked up?
Kendrick for me was very mad. I'm reading comments. That's what you asked me to do.
Oh well, we're talking about Evan about Foo Fighters now. Okay. Well, hang on to the comments. We'll get to the comments in a second.
When did this thing go off the rails so bad?
Well, you read the comments then.
Okay. All right, Evan, continue. you're the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, all the way through, it was a great show. I know kind of a similar thing to My Morning Jacket. I would have liked to see them do something a little special for Bonnaroo. Brad, we've had this conversation three or four times offline already. But I've heard, like, I had other friends in other areas. They were like, I've never seen so much energy all the way through the back of the crowd. It probably helps that everyone in that crowd knows every single song that they played. Mm-hmm. So they only played 2 hours, and we were probably expecting a little more from that. So there's probably a number of reasons for that. They're getting back on their feet with the new drummer. So they don't have – I think they have a pretty limited scope of what they can fool around with. Let's see. I think they're also going to try to keep their tour schedule is brutal, and they're getting up there. So I think – you know, playing 2.5 hours every night instead of 3.5 is probably a better decision, especially since they caught a little bit of shit.
Well, I mean, they did have Haley come out. I mean, that is something special for, you know, 4 lines of the chorus. So that was something. Yeah. But it is, if you look at, and I know we talked about this earlier, Brian, about you didn't go to the show last night, so what is, you know, tonight's set list matter. It is the exact same set list every night. And to the point that the Foo Fighters show at Bonnaroo was the shortest set that they've played this entire run. That's the most startling part of it.
There was a storm coming down. They had to quit
That is a notable thing that we knew all day that there was going to be a storm. And as soon as they turned off, there was an exodus of Bonner and there was massive lightning almost immediately.
It was that quickly. It was
It was immediate.
Okay. 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 Then I'll go to my second, my second nit to pick. There wasn't one time where, and I don't know why I expected this, but I sort of did for some reason. Not one mention of it being their first time ever playing Bonnaroo and saying, wow, I can't believe we haven't done this yet. Nothing like that. Yeah. That was really surprising to me.
The whole set's rehearsed, from what I can tell. I'm a huge, and Evan, even I'm the, a huge even Foo the jokes. Fighters guy.
Even
I'm
the jokes
Foo,
are rehearsed.
I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan. The whole set was rehearsed, and that was a little disappointing to me as well. But I'll just, you know, that I wasn't there. I've only watched it since. I left right as it started, and I thought I'd regret that. I don't regret missing that show. I've seen them 7-8 times, so it's not that big a deal to me.
I think what are some of our expectations would have fit the 2021 show a lot better.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
That's a great point.
I mean, I don't know if I heard this right, but I think Dave at some point during the show this year was like, we'll come back next year and play the – what he didn't say it right, but he was like, we'll play Where in the Woods next year. So I think that was a little nod to, you know, him hinting that they had something special planned in 21.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, and he also says at every show, we got a lot of songs. We're going to be here all night. And they're not. So
I mean, how would he know about the Woods stage though?
Well, I was totally convinced based on a few comments here and there from people that I trust that there was going to be something happening in 2021 that that they were going to do. And I think that your point is exactly right about our expectations for this year really are the expectations that met 2021 that we never actually got to fulfill. So you're probably right about that. I'm probably holding over all of those things that I thought about then and using them for a day and time that is completely different. Not only do they have, you know, it's basically a different band, but you're right. They are getting older and they're packing on these shows that are doing 60 dates. They've got a lot of tour dates that, and they can't just keep going 3 hours deep every night. There's no possible sustainability there.
In 21, they were scheduled on a Friday night too. That is different than the Sunday night. Bonnaroo's kind of done on Sunday night. Once that final sets, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that. You got staff and all that we don't consider, unions and all that. They got to move on. So who knows?
And also the routing of their schedule is insane, right? They've been to Europe twice in the past month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh wasn't he? God. Wasn't played, he at? He was with the Pretenders, right?
They played the Atlantis,
like 4 days later or something with McCartney.
They played the Atlantis, then went to Germany, then came back for Bonner. Then they went to. Then a week later, they went to Glastonbury. So their routing of their schedules. Really.
Jesus, it's unbelievable. And the fact that they would do that Atlanta show that we went to is so incredible because they basically did it for free. So they did all of this jumping oceans only for a free show for 400 of us. Totally crazy. All right. Do we want to settle? So you still loved it, though. You still loved it as a Foo Fighters.
Me personally, it kind of sealed the deal on probably the top artist that I wanted to see at Bonnaroo. So it was kind of like the last real checkbox for me.
There's really nobody else, huh? There's nobody else that's on the wish list.
Probably Mayer on a solo show, but there's probably a long shot on that. But
okay. Yeah. All right. Brian, is there anybody on your wish list that you've never seen?
I
know Barry's
just
answer
thinking
is.
That as you said. Yeah, I was just thinking that as you said it, and I mean, other than I immediately flash back to the 2020 lineup, which is the greatest festival lineup in the history of all festivals. Miley Cyrus is never going to be on a wish list of mine that I just make out real quick, but boy, I was looking forward to that, you know, 3 years ago. But for me personally, just for music that I've listened to my whole life, they've damn near all been there. I mean, it's pretty damn close to literal that they've all already been there. Is there somebody? Sure. I'm not going to think of it quickly.
Well, I mean, for me and Barry, it's Dolly, but you know, that's a pretty easy putt. And even if she...
I'd like to see Taylor Swift. I really would like to see that show.
She won't make any money at Bonnaroo.
I know. Well, that's the thing. The people on my list is Bonnaroo where I want to see him. Van Morrison, you know, I don't want to see Van Morrison at Bonnaroo. He's going to be pissed off.
He'd be miserable. He'd be so miserable. So hate it. I know.
It'd be awful. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
In 20 years, they've covered it for me almost. I mean, again, I'm sure there's somebody I'm not thinking of.
Yeah.
I mentioned I got to read Dan Park commented and thanks for commenting. He said this says the podcast where half of them, I assume he means half, weren't there and one left for a kitty cat. Jeez.
Yeah. What
so
an animal
he's talking
hater.
About you not being there and me leaving because I had to go home and put my cat down because it was 18 years old and dying. So you're not wrong. You know, we weren't there. I agree, but whatever. That's what happened.
Well, there was 16 years before that spent plenty of time and paid the dues.
I still think I know
years.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I was there for a month, you know.
Yeah. And Taco was there for the entire time. Yeah. So he
just got home yesterday.
Yeah, he mowed the grass on his way out.
Right. You're welcome.
I feel okay.
You're welcome,
feel
by
okay
way.
About yeah. it.
He's Forrest Gump there.
Yeah, locked up the gate. So, whatever.
Mowed the grass on the way out. That's so good. Anything else you want to poke at there, Barry? Any other comments before we go?
Ooh, no, I think we covered everything.
Okay.
We still have a lot to talk about. We want to have David Bruce on.
We're not ready to go.
No, we have more to talk about. And he had another person he shared with us that we want to have on. And so we have a lot of shows. So
one other real quick experience from this weekend that I've never done and never thought after this year I would have done. I think it's at the Art of Living. I did a guided meditation while I was there, which Brad, seriously, come on.
I know.
Right?
I'm stunned. Then when I see you on a yoga mat, that's when I'm going to be.
I'm telling you.
It's over.
It was a different Brian Stone. It's over for me. Brian Stone, Brad.
I mean, I'm the same old jerk, dumb, weird guy you've ever met, but I'm also not as bad.
Yeah. You actually are kind of interesting to speak with every now and then. So that's different.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
I said every now and then.
I don't know about it all. This has gotten a little crazy.
No, we had it was a great weekend.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Good. Well, I'm so happy to see you, Brian. Evan, I'll see you in an hour. Barry, Taco, for all that joined us on the live show.
Are you leaving? Are you leaving?
Yeah, it's time to go. It's time to wrap up.
We're not going to do a bus update? Nothing like that?
Oh, that's right.
I wanted to ask that, Evan, did you say everything you wanted to say?
Yeah, we're not done.
We kind of talked over it, Evan, I feel like.
We're done.
Good, because I heard all I wanted to hear. I was done. But I do want to hear about the bus real quick.
Yeah, Taco. Get up in the guts. Tell me about the bus. What's going on?
We just got back from St. Louis late last night with an engine in tow. We trailered it all the way back from St. Louis.
Okay.
So
now you put the engine back in the bus, and then you head back to Manchester.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have it done just in time for Bonnaroo, yeah.
Okay.
He literally called. I was hoping to have it ready for Bonnaroo this year, and he literally called me Monday morning as I was, like, packing up and said, it's pretty much done, so come get it. So
great.
Just in time, yeah.
You're happy with it? Everything looks okay? I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about this, so I'm just going to say something generic. Everything good?
I sent a picture of it to you. What do you think?
Well, I know, but I don't know what I'm looking at. Well, how am I supposed to say?
Yeah. It's literally a engine on the floor.
That's right.
So I guess you'll know once you get it in.
Yeah, right? we're gonna slap it in here real soon. I'm going to say next week or so.
My man. All right.
So look for some updates there.
I can't wait. Are you wearing a Pringles t-shirt?
This is my Bonnaroo t-shirt that I bought from Jello Man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, was it not a free shirt?
This one was not. It was $20.
Wow. Guys.
And it came with a Jello shot.
I'm telling you, this is the big news of the day. Taco's wearing a shirt that was not given to him for free.
I bought two shirts. What do you mean?
Did you really? What's the other shirt that you bought?
The Bonnaroo shirt. You saw it last week.
Oh, that's the last week's shirt? Okay. Yeah. All right, because every other shirt that you've ever had is a promo shirt that somebody gives you, and it's now part of your immediate wardrobe forever.
Wow.
Speaking of Bonnaroo shirts, look. Speaking of this Bonnaroo shirt, look at Evan's Imogene and Willie $80 shirt. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, I got to go.
Yeah, I spent $20 on a Jello shot and got the shirt for free.
My man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Inexpensive jelly shot.
Down that off
jelly shot.
I've lost
Did you really?
Interest.
Yeah. Well, welcome
Love
to
you
about
guys.
10. Welcome to about 10:08 for me.
You guys are done?
You're a pro.
Yes, Taco. Wow. It is time to go.
Why?
It is
time
to go. We never got to the riveting comment section. What about the comments?
Barry read the one great comment.
Yeah, and he was right.
The one that legit. The trashes you two.
What else? Is there
I was kidding. I don't care about the comment section.
I don't know anybody sitting around waiting for them to read comments. I don't know.
I'm not either.
Well, what are you in such a hurry to go do? What do you got to do?
It is 11:11. It is time to go. Taco, we've been here for 70 minutes. 71 minutes.
What do you got
to
do?
Plenty of content. I got a lot to do.
What's the rest of your day plan?
Evan, we do this every week if you're interested.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why you would be.
Brad, this is a taste of your own medicine from Taco here. Every time back in the day, I got to go. What do you got to do?
Yeah, what do you got to do?
What is so important you got to be at? I don't know. Something not with you, Brad. How about that?
Well,
this
not
got
with
silly.
Evan and I go dive bar hopping every Saturday around about now. So we got to go.
Go,
love you
go
guys.
Go to standings and hate on the Mets for me.
I will. Absolutely. Every day. Love you guys. Thanks for joining us on the YouTube. I appreciate the YouTube comments. I'm sorry, RIP. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, do all the things that help us. We will hopefully help you.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.